20 koku a month. For that amount of money, a samurai would normally have to provide his lord with himself and two other samurai, armed, fed, and mounted for the whole year, and, of course, pay for their families as well. But you don't have to do that. I beg you, consider Hujiko as a person, Anjin-san. I beg you to be filled with Christian charity. She's a good woman. Forgive her, her ugliness. She'll be a worthy consort.
She hasn't a home?
Yes, this is her home.
Mariko took hold of herself.
I beg you to accept her formally. She can help you greatly, teach you if you wish to learn. If you prefer, think of her as nothing, as this wooden post or the shoji screen, or as a rock in your garden, anything you wish, but allow her to stay. If you won't have her as consort, be merciful. Accept her, and then, as head of the house, according to our law, kill her.
That's the only answer you have, isn't it? Kill.
No, Anjin-san. But life and death are the same thing. Who knows? Perhaps you'll do Hujiko a greater service by taking her life. It's your right now, before all the law. Your right. If you prefer to make her an outcast, that too is your right.
So I'm trapped again, Blackthorn said. Either way, she's killed. If I don't learn your language, then a whole village is butchered. If I don't do whatever you want, some innocent is always killed. There's no way out.
There's a very easy solution, Anjin-san. Die. You do not have to endure the unendurable.
Suicide's crazy, and a mortal sin. I thought you were Christian.
I've said I am. But for you, Anjin-san, for you there are many ways of dying honorably without suicide. You sneered at my husband for not wanting to die fighting, eh? That's not our custom, but apparently it's yours. So why don't you do that? You have a pistol. Kill Lord Yabu. You believe he's a monster, eh? Even attempt to kill him, and today you'll be in heaven or hell.
He looked at her, hating her serene features, seeing her loveliness through his hate.
It's weak to die like that, for no reason. Stupid's a better word.
You say you're Christian, so you believe in the Jesus child, in God, and in heaven. Death shouldn't frighten you. As to no reason, it's up to you to judge the value or non-value. You may have reason enough to die.
I'm in your power. You know it. So do I.
Mariko leaned over and touched him compassionately.
Anjin-san. Forget the village. 1,000,000,000 things can happen before those 6 months occur. A tidal wave, or earthquake, or you get your ship and sail away, or Yabu dies, or we all die, or who knows? Leave the problems of God to God, and karma to karma. Today you're here, and nothing you can do will change that. Today you're alive, and here, and honored, and blessed with good fortune. Look at this sunset. It's beautiful, eh? This sunset exists. Tomorrow does not exist. There is only now. Please look. It is so beautiful, and it will never happen ever again. Never, not this sunset. Never in all infinity. Lose yourself in it. Make yourself one with nature. And do not worry about karma. Yours, mine, or that of the village.
He found himself beguiled by her serenity and by her words. He looked westward. Great splashes of purple, red, and black were spreading across the sky. He watched the sun until it vanished.
I wish you were to be consort, he said.
I belong to Lord Buntaro, and until he is dead, I cannot think or say what might be thought or said.
Karma, thought Blackthorn. Do I accept karma? Mine? Hers? Theirs? The night's beautiful. And so is she. And she belongs to another. Yes, she is beautiful. and very wise. Leave the problems of God to God, and karma to karma. You did come here uninvited. You are here. You are in their power.
But what's the answer?
The answer will come, he told himself, because there's a God in heaven, a God somewhere.
He heard the tread of feet. Some flares were approaching up the hill. 20 samurai, Omi at their head.
I'm sorry, Anjin-san, but Omi-san orders you to give him your pistols.
Tell him to go to hell.
I can't, Anjin-san. I dare not.
Blackthorn kept one hand loosely on the pistol hilt, his eyes on Omi. He had deliberately remained seated on the veranda steps. 10 samurai were within the garden behind Omi, the rest near the waiting palanquin. As soon as Omi had entered uninvited, Hujiko had come from the interior of the house and now stood on the veranda, white-faced, behind Blackthorn.
Lord Toranaga never objected, and for days I've been armed around him and Yabu-san.
Mariko said nervously,
Yes, Anjin-san, but please understand what Omi-san says is true. It's our custom that you cannot go into a daimyo's presence with arms. There's nothing to be nothing to concern you. Yabu-san's your friend. You're his guest here.
Tell Omi-san I won't give him my guns.
Then, when she remained silent, Blackthorn's temper snapped and he shook his head.
Iye, Omi-san! Wakarimasu ka? Iye!
Omi's face tightened. He snarled an order. 2 samurai moved forward. Blackthorn whipped out the guns. The samurai stopped. Both guns were pointed directly into Omi's face.
Iye, Blackthorn said. And then to Mariko, Tell him to cool them off, or I'll pull the triggers.
She did so. No one moved. Blackthorn got slowly to his feet, the pistols never wavering from their target. Omi was absolutely still, fearless, his eyes following Blackthorn's cat-like movements.
Please, Anjin-san, this is very dangerous. You must see Lord Yabu. You may not go with pistols. You're Hatamoto, you're protected, and you're also Lord Yabu's guest.
Tell Omi-san, if he or any of his men come within 10 feet of me, I'll blow his head off.
Omi-san says politely, For the last time, you are ordered to give me the guns. Now.
Iye.
Why not leave them here, Anjin-san? There's nothing to fear. No one will touch...
You think I'm a fool?
Then give them to Hujiko-san.
What can she do? He'll take them from her. Anyone will take them. Then I'm defenseless.
Mariko's voice sharpened.
Why don't you listen, Anjin-san? Hujiko-san is your consort. If you order it, she'll protect the guns with her life. That's her duty. I'll never tell you again, but Todo no Osagi Hujiko is samurai.
Blackthorn was concentrating on Omi, hardly listening to her.
Tell Omi-san I don't like orders. I'm Lord Toranaga's guest. I'm Lord Yabu's guest. You ask guests to do things. You don't order them, and you don't march into a man's house uninvited.
Mariko translated this. Omi listened expressionlessly, then replied shortly, watching the unwavering barrels.
He says, I, Kashiki Omi, I would ask for your pistols and ask you to come with me, because Kashigi Yabu-sama orders you into his presence. But Kashigi Yabu-sama orders me to order you to give me your weapons. So sorry, Anjin-san. For the last time, I order you to give them to me.
Blackthorn's chest was constricted. He knew he was going to be attacked, and he was furious at his own stupidity. But there comes a time when you can't take any more, and you pull a gun or a knife, and then blood is spilled through stupid pride. Most times stupid.
If I'm to die, Omi will die first, by God.
He felt very strong, though somewhat light-headed. Then what Mariko said began to ring in his ears.
Ujiko Samurai, she is your consort.
And his brain began to function. Just a moment. Mariko-san, please say this to Hujiko-san. Exactly. I'm going to give you my pistols. You are to guard them. No one except me is to touch them.
Mariko did as he asked, and behind him he heard Hujiko say,
Hi.
Wakarimasu ka, Hujiko-san?
He asked her.
Wakarimasu, Anjin-san?
She replied in a thin, nervous voice.
Mariko-san, please tell Omi-san I'll go with him now. I'm sorry there's been a misunderstanding. Yes, I'm sorry there was a misunderstanding.
Blackthorn backed away, then turned. Hujiko accepted the guns, perspiration beading her forehead. He faced Omi and prayed he was right.
Shall we go now?
Omi spoke to Hujiko and held out his hand. She shook her head. He gave a short order. The two samurai started toward her. Immediately, she shoved one pistol into the sash of her obi, held the other with both hands at arm's length, and leveled it at Omi. The trigger came back slightly, and the striking lever moved.
Ugokuna,
she said.
Dozo!
The samurai obeyed. They stopped. Omi spoke rapidly and angrily, and she listened. And when she replied, her voice was soft and polite. But the pistol never moved from his face, the lever half-cocked now, and she ended,
Iye, gomen nasai, Omi-san.
No, I'm sorry, Omi-san. Blackthorn waited. A samurai moved a fraction. The lever came back dangerously, almost to the top of its arc. But her arm remained steady.
Ugokuna,
she ordered. No one doubted that she would pull the trigger, not even Blackthorn. Omi said something curtly to her and to his men. They came back. She lowered the pistol, but it was still ready.
What did he say? Blackthorn asked.
Only that he would report this incident to Yabu-san.
Good. Tell him I will do the same.
Blackthorn turned to her.
Domo, Hujiko-san.
Then, remembering the way Torunaga and Yabu talked to women, he grunted imperiously at Mariko.
Come on, Mariko-san! Ikimashu!
He started for the gate.
Anjin-san!
Hujiko called out.
Hai!
Blackthorn stopped. Hujiko was bowing to him and spoke quickly to Mariko. Mariko's eyes widened, then she nodded and replied, and spoke to Omi, who also nodded, clearly enraged but restraining himself.
What's going on?
Please be patient, Anjin-san.
Hujiko called out, and there was an answer from within the house. A maid came onto the veranda. In her hands were two swords. Samurai swords. Hujiko took them reverently, offered them to Blackthorn with a bow, speaking softly. Mariko said,
Your consort rightly points out that a Hatamoto is, of course, obliged to wear the two swords of the samurai. More than that, it's his duty to do so. She believes it would not be correct for you to go to Lord Yabu without swords, that it would be impolite. By our law, it's duty to carry swords. She asks if you would consider using these, unworthy though they are, until you buy your own.
Blackthorn stared at her, then at Hujiko, and back to her again.
Does that mean I'm samurai? That Lord Torunaga made me samurai?
I don't know, Anjin-san, but there's never been a Hatamoto who wasn't samurai. Never.
Mariko turned and questioned Omi. Impatiently, he shook his head and answered.
Omi-san doesn't know either. Certainly it's the special privilege of a Hatamoto to wear swords at all times, even in the presence of Lord Torunaga. It is his duty because he's a completely trustworthy bodyguard. Also, only a Hatamoto has the right of immediate audience with the Lord.
Blackthorn took the short sword and stuck it in his belt, then the other, the long one, the killing one, exactly as Omi was wearing his. Armed, he did feel better.
Arigato gozaimashita, Uchiko-san,
he said quietly. She lowered her eyes and replied softly. Mariko translated.
Uchiko-san says, With permission, Lord,
Because you must learn our language correctly and quickly, she humbly wishes to point out that domo is more than sufficient for a man to say. Arigato, with or without gozaimashita, is an unnecessary politeness, an expression that only women use.
Hai, domo. Wakarimasu, Ujiko-san.
Blackthorn looked at her clearly for the first time with this newfound knowledge. He saw the sweat on her forehead and the sheen on her hands, the narrow eyes and square face and ferret teeth.
Please tell my consort, in this one case, I do not consider arigato gozaimashita an unnecessary politeness to her.
Yabu glanced at the swords again. Blackthorn was sitting cross-legged on a cushion in front of him, in the place of honor, Mariko to one side, Igarashi beside him. They were in the main room of the fortress. Omi finished talking. Yabu shrugged.
You handled it badly, nephew. Of course it's the consort's duty to protect the Anjin-san and his property. Of course he has the right to wear swords now. Yes, you handled it badly. I made it clear the Anjin-san's my honored guest here. Apologize to him.
Immediately Omi got up and knelt in front of Blackthorn and bowed.
I apologize for my error, Anjin-san.
He heard Mariko say that the barbarian accepted the apology. He bowed again and calmly went back to his place and sat down again. But he was not calm inside. He was now totally consumed by one idea. The killing of Yabu. He had decided to do the unthinkable, kill his liege lord and the head of his clan. But not because he had been made to apologize publicly to the barbarian. In this, Yabu had been right. Omi knew he had been unnecessarily inept, for although Yabu had stupidly ordered him to take the pistols away at once tonight, he knew they should have been manipulated away and left in the house, to be stolen later or broken later.
And the Anjin-san had been perfectly correct to give the pistols to his consort, he told himself, just as she was equally correct to do what she did. And she would certainly have pulled the trigger, her aim true.
It was no secret that Usagi Hujiko sought death, or why. Omi knew, too, that if it hadn't been for his earlier decision this morning to kill Yabu, he would have stepped forward into death, and then his men would have taken the pistols away from her. He would have died nobly, as she would be ordered into death nobly, and men and women would have told the tragic tale for generations. Songs and poems, and even a no play, all so inspiring and tragic and brave, about the three of them. The faithful consort and faithful samurai, who both died dutifully because of the incredible barbarian who came from the eastern sea. No, Omi's decision had nothing to do with this public apology. Although the unfairness added to the hatred that now obsessed him. The main reason was that today Yabu had publicly insulted Omi's mother and wife in front of peasants by keeping them waiting for hours in the sun, like peasants, and had then dismissed them without acknowledgement, like peasants.
It doesn't matter, my son, his mother had said. It's his privilege. He's our liege lord.
Midori, his wife, had said, the tears of shame running down her cheeks.
Please excuse him.
And he didn't invite either of you to greet him and his officers at the fortress, Omi had continued. At the meal you arranged. The food and sake alone cost one koku.
It's our duty, my son. It's our duty to do whatever Lord Yabu wants.
And the order about father?
It's not an order yet. It's a rumor.
The message from father said he'd heard that Yabu's going to order him to shave his head and become a priest, or slit his belly open. Yabu's wife privately boasts it.
That was whispered to your father by a spy. You cannot always trust spies. So sorry, but your father, my son, isn't always wise.
What happens to you, mother, if it isn't a rumor?
Whatever happens is karma. You must accept karma.
No, these insults are unendurable.
Please, my son, accept them.
I gave Yabu the key to the ship, the key to the Anjin-san and the new barbarians, and the way out of Toranaga's trap. My help has brought him immense prestige. With the symbolic gift of the sword, he's now second to Toranaga in the armies of the East. And what have we got in return? Filthy insults!
Accept your karma. You must, husband. I beg you, listen to the lady, your mother.
I can't live with this shame. I will have vengeance, and then I will kill myself, and these shames will pass from me.
For the last time, my son, accept your karma, I beg you.
My karma is to destroy Yabu.
The old lady had sighed.
Very well. You're a man. You have the right to decide. What is to be, is to be. But the killing of Yabu by itself is nothing. We must plan. His son must also be removed, and also Igarashi, particularly Igarashi. Then your father will lead the clan, as is his right.
How do we do that, mother?
We will plan, you and I, and be patient, ne? Then we must consult with your father. Midori, even you may give counsel, but try not to make it valueless, ne?
What about Lord Toranaga? He gave Yabu his sword.
I think Lord Toranaga only wants Izu strong and a vassal state, not as an ally. He doesn't want allies any more than the Taiko did. Yabu thinks he's an ally. I think Toranaga detests allies. Our clan will prosper as Toranaga vassals, or as Ishido vassals. Who to choose, eh? And how to do the killing?
Omi remembered the surge of joy that had possessed him once the decision had been made final. He felt it now. But none of it showed on his face as cha and wine were offered by carefully selected maids imported from Mishima for Yabu. He watched Yabu and the Anjin-san and Mariko and Igarashi. They were all waiting for Yabu to begin. The room was large and airy, big enough for 30 officers to dine and wine and talk. There were many other rooms and kitchens for bodyguards and servants, and a skirting garden, and though all were makeshift and temporary, they had been excellently constructed in the time at his disposal, and easily defendable. That the cost had come out of Omi's increased fief bothered him not at all. This had been his duty. He looked through the open shoji. Many sentries in the forecourt, a stable, the fortress was guarded by a ditch. The stockade was constructed of giant bamboos lashed tightly. Big central pillars supported the tiled roof. Walls were light sliding shoji screens, some shuttered, most of them covered with oiled paper, as was usual. Good planks for the flooring were set on pilings, raised off beaten earth below, and these were covered with tatamis. At Yabu's command, Omi had ransacked four villages for materials to construct this and the other house, and Igarashi had brought quality tatamis and futons, and things unobtainable in the village. Omi was proud of his work, and the bivouac camp for 3,000 samurai had been made ready on the plateau over the hill that guarded the roads that led to the village and to the shore. Now the village was locked tight and safe by land. From the sea, there would always be plenty of warning for a liege lord to escape.
But I have no liege lord. Whom shall I serve now?
Omi was asking himself.
Ikawa Jikyu? Or Toranaga directly? Would Toranaga give me what I want in return? Or Ishido? Ishido's so difficult to get to, ne? But much to tell him now.
This afternoon, Yabu had summoned Igarashi, Omi, and the four chief captains, and had set into motion his clandestine training plan for the 500-gun samurai. Igarashi was to be commander. Omi was to lead one of the hundreds. They had arranged how to induct Toranaga's men into the units when they arrived, and how these outlanders were to be neutralized if they proved treacherous. Omi had suggested that another highly secret cadre of three more units of 100 samurai each should be trained surreptitiously on the other side of the peninsula as replacements, as a reserve, and as a precaution against a treacherous move by Toranaga.
Who'll command Toranaga's men? Will he send a second in command?
Igarashi had asked.
It makes no difference,
Yabu had said.
I'll appoint his five assistant officers, who'll be given the responsibility of slitting his throat, should it be necessary. The code for killing him and all the outlanders will be Plumtree. Tomorrow, Igarashi-san, you will choose the men. I will approve each personally, and none of them is to know yet my overall strategy of the musket regiment.
Now, as Omi was watching Yabu, he savored the newfound ecstasy of vengeance. To kill Yabu would be easy, but the killing must be coordinated. Only then would his father or his elder brother be able to assume control of the clan and Izu. Yabu came to the point.
Mariko-san, please tell the Anjin-san. Tomorrow I want him to start training my men to shoot like barbarians, and I want to learn everything there is to know about the way that barbarians war.
But, so sorry, the guns won't arrive for 6 days, Yabu-san,
Mariko reminded him.
I've enough among my men to begin with,
Yabu replied.
I want him to start tomorrow.
Mariko spoke to Blackthorn.
What does he want to know about war? He asked.
He said everything.
What particularly?
Mariko asked Yabu.
Yabu-san says, have you been part of any battles on land?
Yes, in the Netherlands. One in France.
Yabu-san says, excellent. He wants to know European strategy. He wants to know how many battles are fought in your lands. In detail.
Blackthorn thought a moment. Then he said,
tell Yabu-san I can train any number of men for him, and I know exactly what he wants to know.
He had learned a great deal about the way the Japanese warred from Friar Domingo. The friar had been an expert and vitally concerned.
After all, senor,
the old man had said,
that knowledge is essential, isn't it? To know how the heathen bore. Every father must protect his flock. And are not our glorious conquistadores the blessed spearhead of Mother Church? And haven't I been with them in the front of the fighting in the New World and the Philippines and studied them for more than 20 years? I know war, senor. I know war. It has been my duty, God's will, to know war. Perhaps God has sent you to me to teach you, in case I die. Listen, my flock here in this jail have been my teachers about Japan warfare, senor. So now I know how their armies fight, and how to beat them, how they could beat us. Remember, senor, I tell thee a secret on thy soul. Never join Japanese ferocity with modern weapons and modern methods, or on land, they will destroy us.
Blackthorn committed himself to God, and began.
Tell Lord Yabu I can help him very much, and Lord Toranaga, I can make their armies unbeatable.
Lord Yabu says, if your information proves useful, Anjin-san, he will increase your salary from Lord Toranaga's 240 koku to 500 koku after 1 month.
Thank him, but say, if I do all that for him, I request a favor in return. I want him to rescind his decree about the village, and I want my ship and crew back in 5 months.
Mariko said,
Anjin-san, you cannot bargain with him like a traitor.
Please ask him, as a humble favor, from an honored guest and grateful vassal to be.
Yabu frowned and replied at length.
Yabu-san says that the village is unimportant. The villagers need a fire under their rumps to make them do anything. You are not to concern yourself with them. As to the ship, it's in Lord Toranaga's care. He's sure you'll get it back soon. He asked me to put your request to Lord Toranaga the moment I arrive in Edo. I'll do this, Anjin-san.
Please apologize to Lord Yabu, but I must ask him to rescind the decree. Tonight.
He's just said no, Anjin-san. It would not be good manners.
Yes, I understand. But please ask him again. It's very important to me. A petition.
He says you must be patient. Don't concern yourself with villagers.
Blackthorn nodded. Then he decided. Thank you. I understand. Yes. Please thank Yabu-san, but tell him I cannot live with this shame.
Mariko blanched.
What?
I cannot live with the shame of having the village on my conscience. I am dishonored. I cannot endure this. It's against my Christian belief. I will have to commit suicide at once.
Suicide?
Yes. That's what I've decided to do.
Yabu interrupted.
Nandia, Mariko-san?
Haltingly, she translated what Blackthorn had said. Yabu questioned her, and she answered. Then Yabu said,
If it wasn't for your reaction, this would be a joke, Mariko-san. Why are you so concerned? Why do you think he means it?
I don't know, sire. He seems... I don't know.
Her voice trailed off.
Omi-san?
Suicide's against all Christian beliefs, sire. They never suicide as we do, as a samurai would.
Mariko-san, you're a Christian. Is that true?
Yes, sire. Suicide's a mortal sin, against the word of God.
Igarashi-san, what do you think? It's a bluff. He's no Christian. Remember the first day, sire. Remember what he did to the priest, and what he allowed Omi-san to do to him to save the boy?
Yabu smiled, recollecting that day, and the night that had followed.
Yes, I agree. He's no Christian, Mariko-san.
So sorry, but I don't understand, sire. What about the priest?
Yabu told her what had happened the first day between Blackthorn and the priest.
He desecrated a cross? She said, openly shocked.
And threw the pieces into the dust, Igarashi added. It's all a bluff, sire. If this thing with the village dishonors him, how can he stay here when Omi-san so dishonored him by pissing on him?
What? I'm sorry, sire, Mariko said. But again, I don't understand.
Yabu said to Omi,
Explain that to her.
Omi obeyed. She was disgusted by what he told her, but kept it off her face.
Afterwards, the Anjin-san was completely cowed, Mariko-san.
Omi finished.
Without weapons, he'll always be cowed.
Yabu sipped some sake.
Say this to him, Mariko-san. Suicide's not a barbarian custom. It's against his Christian God. So how can he suicide?
Mariko translated. Yabu was watching carefully as Blackthorn replied.
The Anjin-san apologizes with great humility, but he says, custom or not, God or not, this shame of the village is too great to bear. He says that he's in Japan, he's Hatamoto, and has the right to live according to our laws.
Her hands were trembling.
That's what he said, Yabu-san, the right to live according to our customs, our law.
Barbarians have no rights.
She said, Lord Torinaga made him Hatamoto. That gives him the right, nay?
A breeze touched the shojis, rattling them.
How could he commit suicide, nay? Ask him.
Blackthorn took out the short, needle-sharp sword and placed it gently on the tatami, point facing him.
Igarashi said simply, It's a bluff. Whoever heard of a barbarian acting like a civilized person?
Yabu frowned. His heartbeat slowed by the excitement.
He's a brave man, Igarashi-san. No doubt about that. And strange. But this?
Yabu wanted to see the act, to witness the barbarian's measure, to see how he went into death, to experience with him the ecstasy of the going. With an effort, he stopped the rising tide of his own pleasure.
"What's your counsel, Omi-san?" he asked throatily. "You said to the village, sir, if the Anjin-san did not learn satisfactorily. I counsel you to make a slight concession. Say to him that whatever he learns within the 5 months will be satisfactory. But he must, in return, swear by his god never to reveal this to the village."
"But he's not Christian.
How will that oath bind him?"
"I believe he's a type of Christian, sir. He's against the black robes, and that's what is important. I believe swearing by his own god will be binding. And he should also swear, in this god's name, that he'll apply his mind totally to learning, and totally to your service. Because he's clever, he will have learned very much in 5 months. Thus, your honor is saved. His, if it exists or not, is also saved. You lose nothing, gain everything. Very important, you gain his allegiance of his own free will."
"You believe he'll kill himself?"
"Yes."
"Mariko-san."
"I don't know, Yabu-san. I'm sorry. I cannot advise you. A few hours ago, I would have said, no, he will not commit suicide. Now, I don't know. He's... since Omi-san came for him tonight, he's been different."
"Igarashi-san?"
"If you give in to him now and it's bluff, he'll use the same trick all the time. He's cunning as a fox, Kami. We've all seen how cunning, eh? You'll have to say no one day, sire. I counsel you to say it now. It's a bluff."
Omi leaned forward and shook his head.
"Sire, please excuse me, but I must repeat. If you say no, you risk a great loss. If it is a bluff, and it may well be, then as a proud man, he will become hate-filled at his further humiliation, and he won't help you to the limit of his being, which you need. He's asked for something as a hatamoto, which he's entitled to. He says he wants to live according to our customs of his own free will. Isn't that an enormous step forward, sire? That's marvelous for you, and for him. I counsel caution. Use him to your advantage."
"I intend to," Yabu said thickly.
Igarashi said, "Yes, he's valuable. And yes, I want his knowledge. But he's got to be controlled. You've said that many times, Omi-san. He's barbarian. That's all he is. Oh, I know he's Hatamoto today. And yes, he can wear the two swords from today. But that doesn't make him samurai. He's not samurai. And never will be."
Mariko knew that of all of them, she should be able to read the Anjin-san the most clearly. But she could not. One moment she understood him, the next he was incomprehensible again. One moment she liked him, the next she hated him. Why? Blackthorn's haunted eyes looked into the distance, but now there were beads of sweat on his forehead.
"Is that from fear?" thought Yabu. "Fear that the bluff will be called? Is he bluffing?" "Mariko-san."
"Yes, Lord."
"Tell him."
Yabu's mouth was suddenly dry, his chest aching.
"Tell the Anjin-san the sentence stays."
"Sire, please excuse me, but I urge you to accept Omi-san's advice."
Yabu did not look at her, only at Blackthorn. The vein in his forehead pulsed.
"The Anjin-san says he's decided. So be it. Let's see if he's barbarian or Hatamoto."
Mariko's voice was almost imperceptible.
"Anjin-san, Yabu-san says the sentence stays. I'm sorry."
Blackthorn heard the words, but they did not disturb him. He felt stronger and more at peace than he had ever been, with a greater awareness of life than he had ever had. While he was waiting, he had not been listening to them or watching them. The commitment had been made. The rest he had left to God. He'd been locked in his own head, hearing the same words over and over, the same that had given him the clue to life here, the words that surely had been sent from God, through Mariko as medium.
There is an easy solution. Die. To survive here, you must live according to our customs. The sentence stays.
So now I must die. I should be afraid. But I'm not. Why? I don't know. I know only that once I truly decided that the sole way to live here as a man is to do so according to their customs, to risk death, to die, perhaps to die, that suddenly the fear of death was gone. Life and death are the same. Leave karma to karma. I am not afraid to die.
Beyond the shoji, a gentle rain had begun to fall. He looked down at the knife.
I have had a good life, he thought.
His eyes came back to Yabu.
Wakarimasu,
he said clearly, and though he knew his lips had formed the word, it was as though someone else had spoken. No one moved. He watched his right hand pick up the knife, then his left also grasped the hilt, the blade steady and pointing at his heart. Now there was only the sound of his life, building and building, soaring louder and louder until he could listen no more. His soul cried out for eternal silence. The cry triggered his reflexes. His hands drove the knife unerringly toward its target. Omi had been ready to stop him, but he was unprepared for the suddenness and ferocity of Blackthorn's thrust. And as Omi's left hand caught the blade and his right the haft, pain bit into him, and blood spilled from his left hand. He fought the power of the thrust with all his strength. He was losing. Then Igarashi helped. Together they halted the blow. The knife was taken away. A thin trickle of blood ran from the skin over Blackthorn's heart, where the point of the knife had entered. Mariko and Yabu had not moved.
Yabu said, "Say to him, say to him, whatever he learns is enough, Mariko-san. Order him. No, ask him. Ask the Anjin-san to swear as Omi-san said. Everything as Omi-san said."
Blackthorn came back from death slowly. He stared at them and the knife from an immense distance, without understanding. Then the torrent of his life rushed back, but he could not grasp its significance, believing himself dead and not alive.
Anjin-san! Anjin-san!
He saw her lips move and heard her words, but all his senses were concentrated on the rain and the breeze.
Yes?
His own voice was still far off, but he smelled the rain and heard the droplets and tasted the sea salt upon the air.
I'm alive! He told himself in wonder. I'm alive, and that's real rain outside, and the wind's real and from the north. There's a real brazier with real coals, and if I pick up the cup, it will have real liquid in it, and it will have taste. I'm not dead. I'm alive.
The others sat in silence, waiting patiently, gentle with him to honor his bravery. No man in Japan had ever seen what they had seen. Each was asking silently, "What's the Anjin-san going to do now? Will he be able to stand by himself and walk away, or will his spirit leave him? How would I act if I were he?" Silently a servant brought a bandage and bound Omi's hand where the blade had cut deeply, staunching the flow of blood. Everything was very still. From time to time, Mariko would say his name quietly, as they sipped cha or sake, but very sparingly, savoring the waiting, the watching, and the remembering. For Blackthorn, this snow life seemed to last forever. Then his eyes saw, his ears heard.
Anjin-san?
Hi,
he answered through the greatest weariness he had ever known. Mariko repeated what Omi had said, as though it came from Yabu. She had to say it several times before she was sure that he understood clearly. Blackthorn collected the last of his strength, victory sweet to him.
My word is enough, as his is enough. Even so, I'll swear by God as he wants?
Yes.
As Yabu-san will swear by his God in equal honor to keep his side of the bargain.
Lord Yabu says yes. He swears by the Lord Buddha.
So Blackthorn swore as Yabu wished him to swear. He accepted some char. Never had it tasted so good. The cup seemed very heavy, and he could not hold it for long.
The rain is fine, isn't it?
He said, watching the raindrops breaking and vanishing, astonished by the untoward clarity of his vision.
Yes,
she told him gently, knowing that his senses were on a plane never to be reached by one who had not gone freely out to meet death, and, through an unknowing karma, miraculously come back again.
Why not rest now, Anjin-san? Lord Yabu thanks you, and says he will talk more with you tomorrow. You should rest now.
Yes, thank you. That would be fine.
Do you think you can stand?
Yes, I think so.
Yabu-san asks if you would like a palanquin.
Blackthorn thought about that. At length, he decided that a samurai would walk, would try to walk.
No, thank you,
he said, as much as he would have liked to lie down, to be carried back, to close his eyes, and to sleep instantly. At the same time, he knew he would be afraid to sleep yet, in case this was the dream of after death, and the knife not there on the futon, but still buried in the real him, and this hell, or the beginning of hell. Slowly he took up the knife and studied it, glorying in the real feel. Then he put it in its scabbard, everything taking so much time.
Sorry, I'm so slow, he murmured.
You mustn't be sorry, Anjin-san. Tonight, you're reborn. This is another life, a new life,
Mariko said proudly, filled with honor for him.
It's given to few to return. Do not be sorry. We know it takes great fortitude. Most men do not have enough strength left afterwards, even to stand. May I help you?
No. No, thank you.
It is no dishonor to be helped. I would be honored to be allowed to help you.
Thank you, but I wish to try. First.
But he could not stand at once. He had to use his hands to get to his knees, and then he had to pause to get more strength. Later, he lurched up and almost fell. He swayed, but did not fall. Yabu bowed, and Mariko, Omi, and Igarashi. Blackthorn walked like a drunk for the first few paces. He clutched a pillar and held on for a moment. Then he began again. He faltered, but he was walking away, alone, as a man. He kept one hand on the long sword in his belt, and his head was high. Yabu exhaled and drank deeply of the sake. When he could speak, he said to Mariko,
"Please follow him. See that he gets home safely."
Yes, sir.
When she had gone, Yabu turned on Igarashi.
You manure pile fool!
Instantly, Igarashi bowed his head to the mat in penitence.
Bluff, you said, ne? Your stupidity almost cost me a priceless treasure.
Yes, sir. You're right, sir. I beg leave to end my life at once.
That would be too good for you. Go and live in the stables until I send for you. Sleep with the stupid horses. You're a horse-headed fool.
Yes, sir. I apologize, sir.
Get out. Omi-san will command the guns now. Get out.
The candles flickered and spluttered. One of the maids spilled the tiniest drop of sake on the small lacquered table in front of Yabu, and he cursed her eloquently. The others apologized at once. He allowed them to placate him and accepted more wine.
Bluff, bluff, he said. Fool, why do I have fools around me?
Omi said nothing, screaming with laughter inside.
But you're no fool, Omi-san. Your counsel's valuable. Your fee's doubled from today. 6,000 koku for next year. Take 30 li around Anjiro as your fief.
Omi bowed to the futon. Yabu deserves to die, he thought scornfully. He's so easy to manipulate.
I deserve nothing, sire. I was just doing my duty.
Yes, but a liege lord should reward faithfulness and duty.
Yabu was wearing the Yoshitomo sword tonight. It gave him great pleasure to touch it.
Suzu! He called to one of the maids. Send Tsukimoto here!
How soon will war begin? Omi asked.
This year? Maybe you have 6 months. Perhaps not.
Why?
Perhaps the Lady Mariko should stay more than 3 days. To protect you.
Eh? Why?
She's the mouth of the Anjinsan. In half a month, with her, he can train 20 men, who can train 100, who can train the rest. Then, whether he lives or dies, doesn't matter.
Why should he die?
You're going to call the Anjinsan again, his next challenge, or the one after, sire. The result may be different next time. Who knows? You may want him to die.
Both men knew, as Mariko and Igarashi had known, that for Yabu to swear by any god was meaningless. And, of course, he had no intention of keeping any promise.
You may want to put pressure on him. Once you have the information, what good is the carcass?
None.
You need to learn barbarian war strategy, but you must do it very quickly. Lord Toranaga may send for him, so you must have the woman as long as you can. Half a month should be enough to squeeze his head dry of what he knows, now that you have his complete attention. You have to experiment, to adapt their methods to our ways. Yes, it would take at least half a month. Nay?
And Toranaga-san?
He will agree, if it's put correctly to him, sire. He must. The guns are his as well as yours. And her continuing presence here is valuable in other ways.
Yes,
Yabu said with satisfaction. For the thought of holding her as hostage had also entered his mind on the ship, when he had planned to offer Toranaga as a sacrifice to Ishido.
Todo Mariko should be protected, certainly. It would be bad if she fell into evil hands.
Yes, and perhaps she could be the means of controlling Hiromatsu, Buntaro, and all their clan, even Toranaga.
You draft the message about her.
Omi said, offhand,
My mother heard from Edo today, sir. She asked me to tell you that the Lady Genjiko has presented Toranaga with his first grandson.
Yabu was at once attentive.
Toranaga's grandson. Could Toranaga be controlled through this infant? The grandson assures Toranaga's dynasty name. How can I get the infant as hostage?
And Ochiba? The Lady Ochiba?
He asked.
She's left Edo with all her entourage 3 days ago. By now, she's safe in Lord Ishido's territory.
Yabu thought about Ochiba and her sister, Genjiko.
So different.
Ochiba, vital, beautiful, cunning, relentless, the most desirable woman in the empire, and mother of the heir. Genjiko, her younger sister, quiet, brooding, flat-faced and plain, with a pitilessness that was legend, even now, that had come down to her from her mother, who was one of Goruda's sisters. The two sisters loved each other, but Ochiba hated Toranaga and his brood, as Genjiko detested the Taiko and Yeimon, his son.
Did the Taiko really father Ochiba's son?
Yabu asked himself again, as all daimyos had done secretly for years.
What wouldn't I give to know the answer to that? What wouldn't I give to possess that woman? Now that Lady Ochiba's no longer hostage in Edo, that could be good and bad,
Yabu said tentatively.
Nay? Good, only good. Now Ishido and Toranaga must begin very soon.
Omi deliberately omitted the Sama from those two names.
The Lady Mariko should stay, for your protection.
See to it. Draft the message to send to Toranaga.
Suzu, the maid, knocked discreetly and opened the door. Tsukimoto came into the room.
Sire?
Where are all the gifts I ordered brought from Mishima for Omi-san?
They're all in the storehouse, Lord. Here's the list. The two horses can be selected from the stables. Do you want me to do that now?
No. Omi-san will choose them tomorrow.
Yabu glanced at the carefully written list. 20 kimonos, second quality. 2 swords. 1 suit of armor, repaired but in good condition. 2 horses. Arms for 100 samurai. 1 sword, helmet, breastplate, bow, 20 arrows, and spear for each man. Best quality. Total value, 426 koku. Also the rock called the Waiting Stone. Value, priceless.
Ah, yes, he said in better humor, remembering that night. The rock I found in Kyushu. You were going to rename it the Waiting Barbarian, weren't you?
Yes, sire, if it so pleases you,
Omi said.
But would you honor me tomorrow by deciding where it should go in the garden? I don't think there's a place good enough. Tomorrow I'll decide. Yes.
Yabu let his mind rest on the rock, and on those far-off days with his revered master, the Taiko, and last on the night of the screams. Melancholy seeped into him.
Life is so short and sad and cruel, he thought.
He eyed Suzu. The maid smiled back hesitantly, oval-faced, slender, and very delicate like the other two. The three had been brought by palanquin from his household in Mishima. Tonight they were all barefoot, their kimonos the very best silk, their skins very white.
Curious that boys can be so graceful, he pondered. In many ways, more feminine, more sensuous than girls are.
Then he noticed Tsukimoto.
What are you waiting for, eh? Get out!
Yes, sir. You asked me to remind you about taxes, sire.
Tsukimoto heaved up his sweating bulk and gratefully hurried away.
Omi-san, you will double all taxes at once,
Yabu said.
Yes, sir. Filthy peasants. They don't work hard enough. They're lazy, all of them. I keep the roads safe from bandits, the seas safe, give them good government. And what do? They spend the days drinking cha and sake and eating rice. It's time my peasants lived up to their responsibility.
Yes, sire, Omi said.
Next, Yabu turned to the subject that possessed his mind.
The Anjin-san astonished me tonight. But not you?
Oh, yes, he did, sire. More than you. But you were wise to make him commit himself.
You say Igarashi was right?
I merely admired your wisdom, sire. You would have had to say no to him sometime. I think you were very wise to say it now, tonight.
I thought he'd killed himself. Yes. I'm glad you were ready. I planned on you being ready. The Anjin-san's an extraordinary man. For a barbarian, eh? A pity he's barbarian. And so naive.
Yes.
Yabu yawned. He accepted sake from Suzu.
Half a month, you say? Mariko-san should stay at least that, Omi-san. Then I'll decide about her. And about him. He'll need to be taught another lesson soon.
He laughed, showing his bad teeth.
If the Anjin-san teaches us, we should teach him, eh? He should be taught how to commit seppuku correctly. That'd be something to watch, eh? See to it. Yes, I agree, the barbarian's days are numbered.
Chapter 32 12 days later, in the afternoon, the courier from Osaka arrived. An escort of 10 samurai rode in with him. Their horses were lathered and near death. The flags at their spearheads carried the cipher of the all-powerful Council of Regents. It was hot, overcast, and humid. The courier was a lean, hard samurai of senior rank,
one of Ishido's chief lieutenants. His name was Nobara Jozen, and he was known for his ruthlessness. His grey uniform commercial